So great to have Pam back with us, and wow, what a blessing it is here with what's going on. And I agree, Pam, so much. This church is a part of that. I want you guys to hear and know that as we prayerfully support her and also with our gifts and also coming. And if you haven't ever done that, I would encourage you to do that. It's quite the experience just to walk into those hallways. And if you're like me, you don't know all the legislators, but if you get next to Pam, she can introduce you to a whole bunch of them and have an opportunity to rub elbows. It's exciting to hear. If you're visiting with us, this is a bit of a unique service in the sense that I'm shutting up in 15 minutes. I have to. Hey, no one said amen and praise the Lord. I feel good about that. Thank you, guys. Woo! I was expecting someone to go, hallelujah. That's all right. We're gonna try to stop and we're going to finish this service. So you can't go home. Sorry, we had the doors locked. We had the firemen there to help with that so that we didn't break the laws of the land and all that. But we're going to move down there. We do have seats and places for those who need to sit and those who can stand for 15 more minutes, if you will just go ahead and stand. But there will be plenty of seats for those who need to sit down. And we'll find you a seat if they're all filled. It's all good. We want you to come down. We're going to have a celebration time of God's goodness to us. I've had a blessed day yesterday. Dawn and I went to a funeral. You say, well, that was a blessing? It really was. It was a celebration of Dr. Dan Gillette, a pastor at First Baptist in Elkhart, Indiana, for many years, and pastor of many churches. Anyway, that was Dawn's pastor growing up. And just to hear the testimonies of what a life that's dedicated to Christ, the difference it can make in not just the family, but in the community itself. That was very exciting. And I was also excited about, because I want you to go ahead and take your Bibles, because this is Bible Baptist Church. We use our Bibles, if you're wondering about that. This is a Bible, if you haven't seen one. I know everybody has phones now. They may not even know what one looks like. But go ahead and turn to Matthew 25. We're going to a very familiar passage, which can be dangerous sometimes, but I hope not today. I hope today you'll catch something, be reminded of some things maybe you've heard. Maybe you've never heard of this particular passage, or you heard it a long time ago, you're not quite sure what it all is. Whatever that might be in your particular situation, I pray that you're blessed and that the Holy Spirit will use the Word of God to transform us to be more like Christ. And we're going to look at this thing called the Parable of the Talents, 14 through 30, on this Dedication Sunday, as we have called it. It's not an official title, although I suppose if you push Hallmark enough, they'll come up with a calendar date for that so they can sell more cards. So maybe a Dedication Sunday would work there. So anyway, Parable of Talents. Let's go to the Lord and ask His blessing on the Word of God before we begin. Our Father in heaven, we do say, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we do pray that even now, that through your Holy Spirit, your Word of God, which is sharper than a two-edged sword in the sense it's able to cut right to the problem, and with the light of truth, you would help speak to all our hearts to transform us to become more like Christ. And in a crowd this large, certainly, there's at least one, maybe more, like that legislator who ever asked the question, are you ready to meet God? Are you sure you're going to heaven without a doubt? Are your sins forgiven? And they don't know that, Lord, or they can't, or they would answer, no, I don't know that. I pray that today would be their graduation day. Today would be their salvation day. Today would be their resurrection day. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a great parable, and the context of it, if you want to read it, you'll have to read actually the whole Gospel of Matthew. But he's discussing the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. I know those are used interchangeably. We're not going to get into that discussion other than to say, for the most part, those often speak of the same thing. We don't want to get too deep with that. But it's the rule and reign of God. And there's a present sense to that right now, and there's also a future sense. And there are all kinds of facts that pour into that. But for our purposes here, when we're speaking of the kingdom of God, we're speaking of God's rule and God's reigns in the hearts of men through the salvation message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where it begins. That's where the real rule and reign begins. As exciting and wonderful as it is and blessed it is to live in the country that we live in, which I personally believe, I'm a little prejudiced, is the greatest country in the whole world. Great Britain, too. I'm sorry, Pam. But yeah, all absolutely, that's not where the reign needs to be. The reign needs to be from Christ in us. And he's our king. So they're asking questions and about it. And so this is kind of, he's explaining, and there's parable after parable. The kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of heaven is like, and he just goes on to explain it. So it has lots of levels. And I'm going to tell you right now, we're not going to hit near all those levels. But we're going to hit a special one that really hit me this week. Let's begin in verse 14. For it, what? Well, the kingdom of heaven. Will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. And then he went away. So right away, the introduction to the kingdom of heaven, what is it like? What is it all about? It kind of gives you just the introductory of characters to help us to understand a little bit more about this kingdom. Just to, again, there's lots of levels. This is one of them. He says, well, in the kingdom of heaven, there's a master. All right? Doesn't that make sense? In a kingdom, what do you have? You have a king. So there's a king, we might use the word master here, so there's someone in charge. And also we're introduced to these servants, people that are in the realm of the king and under his authority, and we have these servants here. So we have the master, and this master apparently is the owner of everything. The servants don't own anything. That's an important part as we drive into this parable to understand as servants of the king, it's the king's property. It's the king's realm. The king owns it all. We have to get that in our heads if we're to move on as to be good, loyal servants. But there is a relationship, too. Did you see? There's a master and there are servants. And there's some type of relationship. And if you go deep enough and think about it as well, it's a pretty trusting relationship that's going on here. What's this guy doing? Well, it seems to be, the pastor I grew up with, he always called it the sanctified imagination. Maybe you've heard that before. In my sanctified imagination, so to speak, I'm thinking of this guy's got a huge kingdom. I mean, he would make the richest man in the world today look poor. He's just got everything. And what is he doing? Well, there's a relationship that he has with his servants, so much so that he says, here are the keys, man. Here's the keys to the car, the house, and the boat, and everything else. And now I'm going away, and I'm going to be gone for a while, okay? And I want you to take care of things for me, all right? All right, so that's important to get as we move into this. You got to understand there's a master, a sovereign king, a lord, and he has a relationship with his servants, and it's a trusting relationship. That's important for you and I if we're to move forward to understand what this is all about. So we have this trusting relationship, and we have a responsibility that we're given. Now, what is given? Something very valuable. The things the king owns. All the king has. He's giving them a valuable thing. He's got these talents, and you know, there's a lot of discussion on all that. It's just the idea of a treasure, something that's important, something that's very valuable. And that's going to come through as well as we get along a little bit more. So anyway, that's kind of the setup. You've got a picture of God, I believe, here as the master. You've got servants, which could be us. And maybe more than just us. But this is also this relationship, and he offers this thing to us, an entrustment that we're supposed to do something with, and it's a great gift. It's an awesome gift. In fact, if you read some of the other parables, and one of my favorite parables of all times is like 3 verses long. It's about the field, where he comes upon the field, and he realizes there's something valuable in this thing that's full of rocks and everything. You remember the parable? And he does what? He'll get and sell everything he can. Why? Because there's something valuable in that field that no one else can see. And he's willing to give it all over. Are you starting to get the picture of a servant of Christ? He's willing to give everything that he has built up, everything that he owns and God has blessed him with. He's actually willing to give all of that away to get that treasure. So we have this great treasure. It's very valuable. And if you're reading through the Gospel of Matthew, you're going to understand this treasure that the king, the master here, if we can move out of the story and try to understand, there's a lot of things that are valuable that God gives us. And we could list them right now, I bet. But the most valuable of all is the gift of Christ, of salvation. Amen. That is the value. So I want you to think about that as we move forward with it. That's kind of the introduction. Now we get into, you know, the response of these servants here. That's 16 through 18. What do they do? Well, it says here, he who had received 5 talents, he went at once and traded with them. So he's doing something. And he made 5 more. He who had the 2 talents made 2 more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. So we have to stop there. We got 3 servants. It's a story. It's a parable. It's just a picture to have a deeper truth. So there's 2 guys. Immediately, as soon as the master gives them something, what do? They get to work. What do they work on? On the master's business. The master's business, not their business. And they're working hard on the master's business. I think this is where, in so many, in the Christian realm, it can be tripped up quickly, very quickly. So we got to move on because according to the clock, I got 4 minutes to finish. I can do it. So here we have, they have that all done. But then we have the one guy who's basically, he just buries it. He doesn't want anything to do with it. He spends his time, I think, instead of doing the master's work, it was a lot easier to do it this way, and we'll see why in a little bit. But he takes what the master gave him, and I know it doesn't seem like much, but we're not judged according to how much. We're judged according to faithfulness. So that's why I'm so excited that, you know, as the older I get, it's hard-headed. It's finally getting in there. It doesn't matter that you have 500 things that you're able to do. If God's giving you the one thing to do, you're not going to be judged on the other 499. What did you do with the talent I gave you, the gift, the treasure? What did you do with that treasure? That's what we'll all be judged for. So this guy buries it, all right? So basically, he doesn't want to do the master's work because once he's buried it, I mean, he didn't even put it in the bank. We'll see that in a little bit, to even earn interest. He just buries it. He's done with it. I want to do my own thing. So when we think about the master and the kingdom and all that, well, the master here has simply just been given him a treasure and he just put it in the ground so he can do his own thing. 3 servants related to the master somehow, but we're going to find out where. Let's go quickly. We don't have time to read all this because of time, but basically the master comes back. This next section is 19 through 30. It's the largest section, of course. And what you have is accountability and judgment. So it says here in 19, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Let me summarize what that was all about. So now he's coming back, and it was a long time. I want you to underline that. Because sometimes you and I, in our work for our master, it seems like a very long time. Oh, how long, Jesus, how long? Isn't there a hymn by that? Ere we shout the glad song, Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Anyone remember that one? You mean I'm the only one who remembers that one? You're afraid I'm going to make you sing it? Oh, okay, come on up and sing it with me. She says, no way, all right. Yeah, it's a long time. Why? I think that's significant because sometimes along the way we can get distracted. We can get discouraged. We can get despondent. We can move and forget. The master's given us something to do, and it's about the master. So 2 of them do well, and he rewards them, and 1 of them doesn't. And so how do we look at this? Well, there's a lot of applications that have been given to this. I'm not going to go into all of them. I don't even have the time. But the idea is that stewardship's a big deal. God has given us a great treasure. The treasure is what? The treasure is the gospel for the church. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that's our treasure. There's no greater treasure. I don't care what you do or what you have. And the blessings we have been, I'm looking out here, you guys are blessed with family and friends, children, grandchildren. But there's no greater blessing than Jesus. Eternal life, that's the greatest treasure. And so we have that. And so there's a stewardship to that. And that everything that we do have, guess what? It's God's. It's not ours. It's His. So because of that, we are now not owners of anything. And the sooner you and I learn that, the better along the road we're going to make. You're holding or gripping stuff. This is mine. This is mine. There's nothing yours. Nothing, not even your children are yours. They are gifts from God. You are a steward. So that's the one. That's a good one. I love the other one. It says, we're expected to be productive. What I love in here, if you read it, he never tells them what to do with it, does he? Does he say two things about what to do with it? No, this is going to play in what I think is the main theme that's not us and always taught. But it is taught sometimes. But I think the bigger thing is there was an expectation from the master that you and I were going to do what? His will. All right? He didn't even state it. Well, hang in there. Hang in there. And so what might be the big one? And I have to jump to the end quickly here. In order for I to do that, I do have to have one little illustration, just maybe to set it up. I want you to think just for a moment, play the story in your mind with me. It's a story of a father and son, all right? It's a father and a son, okay? Father and son, it's Christmas time. Just coming up. Just go to Sam's. I'll tell you how many days are left, all right? Yeah, they do that all the time. Walk in there and go, oh my goodness, I'm in trouble. But anyway, you go in there. So father and son, we're in a large, large room. And so here's what's in the room. We've got the father's in the room, the son's in the room, and then we've got these gifts. All right, you ready? It's a teenage guy. He's got the newest computer. He's got a PlayStation 5. I don't even know they had that. He's got a new truck. He's got a Tesla. And he's got 4 years of college. That's pretty good gifts, would you say? So I wanted to ask you the question. Of everything that's in that room, what is the greatest gift? I just read you the list. What would you say the greatest gift is? You don't have to say it out loud. Just think about that, right? What would that be? I'm not trying to throw you a trick question. I'm trying to make a point that we don't always go there. The greatest gift in that room is the Father. That's the point. All these great things he gives us. The guy at the end, the third servant, if you read real quickly, what was his issue? Well, he made excuses. You saw he was even angry at the master. Well, I knew you were a hard man, and you didn't sow what you didn't plant and reap and all that. I mean, he's doing all this stuff. He's putting almost on the master as it's your problem. Hey, well, look, I'm not having much talent. You didn't give me anything. I got to call it back. He's running excuses. Poor, woe is me. But there was a word in that explanation that I think hits it. And it was the word fear. I fear you. And I thought, that's the answer. He missed it. The point of this kingdom of heaven thing and what it's like, it is about the relationship with the Father. The first two guys got to work right away. They knew their father. They knew their dad. They wanted to get out there. They got going. They were excited. They didn't care that it took a long time. At least it didn't say that they cared. Maybe they longed for him, of course. And when he came, were they fearful? No, they're like, Dad's home. Woo! All right. Dad, this is what I did. This is what I did. And there was that relationship. But the third guy, he didn't do anything. He was lazy. He was wicked, according to the text, because he had what? Fear, selfishness, all of it, and none of it has to do with being a Christian. None of it. God says, look, I want you to see me as I am. And if you and I are going to fulfill the call that we've been given, the treasure that we have. And for whatever reason, God has given all of us this treasure, and we're able to distribute it uniquely according to our own talent. And if that is not something that you and I can bury and come up with an excuse, well, I can't do that because, and then you fill it out. No, it's not that at all. We are able to serve and be the master's great servant. Why? Not because of fear, but because of love. Jesus said this more than once. If you love me, do what? You'll keep my commandments. I mean, that'll be an example. You won't hide the thing. You'll be actively involved. And so when I think of about dedication now, we're getting to the end here. A dedication service, and we're going to have a fun time here and as we leave here and go to the gym here. It's a great building. It's a great facility. The church should be very, 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 very proud in a positive Christian way of how they've taken care of it over the years. But it's never been about the bricks, right? It's been about the people. And it's been about the Father. We're not really, we're dedicating a building to ministry. I have no problem with that. But I want you to understand something. Today when we go, I want you to understand this. We're dedicating ourselves once again to God. And it's okay to do this. Well, I did that, you know, 40, 50, 70 years ago. It's okay every day to say, Lord, I'm dedicating myself, my time, my talents, my treasures, all that's yours. I'm dedicating it to you. It's yours anyway. I want to be the servant that uses it, that seeks to multiply this great treasure of the gospel. I'm not going to bury it. I'm not going to hide it. I'm not going to make excuses and point because I'm angry because that guy, everything he touches goes to gold. Everything I touch just burns up. You're not going to make those excuses. Why? Because I love you, Father. And I know if I dedicate myself to you, everything else is going to work out. That's what we're doing today. We're dedicating ourselves once again, and you're going to join with me, to God the Father who loves us, who's given us, if I could go back to the beginning and end with this, the Lord Jesus Christ has gone on a long journey. He is interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And as he's doing that, and he's coming back, and it's important that we're prepared for that. Are you? But as we are waiting for that day, we are serving our Lord with all that we can, taking the treasure of the gospel and multiplying it in our world. For you, that might be one person today. That's your awesome world. Don't look down on that. That's not a big deal. How about this lady, what was her name again that died? Senator Bro? That's a soul, a life, a treasure. I would say that would be as important as 5,000, 10,000 people. They're all important. Don't look down on yourself. Look up. God loves you, and he has a great, great opportunity for you and me. Father in heaven, as we now move ourselves now into a time of dedication, there might be someone here today, even now, that has not come into a relationship with you. For whatever reason, they're living their life. Maybe their, quote, Christian life. By that I mean maybe they claim to be, but they surely are not. For they fear you, they're scared of you, they have really no relationship with you, they're not even looking forward to seeing you again. In fact, if you were to come, they might be ashamed at your appearing, and that's not what you want. You want us to be like the first two that are excited, they get to work, they roll up their sleeves, they're so glad to work for a good and benevolent master. But we get to call you Father. I pray that they have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, that even right now, where they're at, where they're seated, they would simply cry out to the Lord and say, Father, thank you for loving me so much, for giving me a great opportunity, for offering me a great treasure that's beyond riches and health. And those are great things to pray. My goodness, I think those are awesome things to pray. We are supposed to love and help and lift people up. But yet, Lord, that's not the greatest treasure. The greatest treasure is Jesus. The greatest treasure is our salvation. I pray that they will receive that one. And in the meantime of receiving that one, as they trust in Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross for them, shed his blood, and rose from the dead, and offers them eternal life if they will but trust in him alone for forgiveness of sin and for salvation, they would come to know the good, good Father you are. And now, all of us rededicate ourselves, not out of fear, but out of love for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well,